This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
If he's delivering it that way, then you know that he is really angry and he's really trying to get under the skin of the person that he's arguing with.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, it's 8:05. Bill Ford, Tubbs Studio, the Boomer and Geo program. That was Al, correct, Eddie?
Doing, I don't even know what noises he was making. Anyhow,
Geo will be back next Monday. Could you, if I asked you to pull up, before we move on, if I asked you to pull up right now, Eddie, let's say the four or five wackiest, not things that Al has said, but noises that you have created or you have clipped from either the warm-up show or the podcast, likely. How fast could you do that?
Not that quick.
Not as quick as I would think?
There's a lot of them.
Yeah, he's made a lot of noises over
so
the years.
So give me a random one. We know that to me is my favorite one because that came out of your mouth.
That's what I was going to go to.
That came out of my mouth because I was not sure if I was going to say something, so I was turning my mic on as I was starting to talk.
It doesn't even sound like a human sound. Which
and he also amplified it, you know, separated
it.
Oh,
details. Details,
and
details.
Isolated it. That's the, well, this is what he does.
Oh.
He will, during the podcast, during some of the stories that we will break down and cover, he will come up with some of the strangest sounds that a human, that's why I said to Eddie when he played that thing, it jarred a thought, as they say. So, anyhow. All right, so you've got, quickly, the Cubs and Dodgers playing right now. We don't care about that here, but that means the season's begun. When you look at a week from, is it a week from now? What's today, Wednesday?
Yes.
Oh, so a week from tomorrow.
Week from tomorrow.
Yeah. Things will get underway. And I know we looked at the props yesterday and the win total. I'm not going to do that again, but is there any part of you that thinks the Yankees could be a mess this season?
They're starting out as a mess. There's no question about that. The question is can they right the ship and can they get off to a reasonably good start? I think after, 30 games, if they were .500, that would be amazing for them, because going into the season, do you feel like this level of confidence that we had? I had it, and then all of a sudden, you start losing piece after piece after piece. So if you think of a chess set, and you think about, you're losing your starting pitcher,
yeah,
your number one guy, your ace. He's the guy that sets the tone for the entire franchise. And then you're losing your DH, who, is about 35 home runs a year. And then all of a sudden, you lose Juan Soto in the offseason. I mean, that's three major pieces off of your chessboard that you have lost. And what are you replacing them with?
And how about Luis Gil? Like, it all started with Gil and Stanton. And you're thinking at the time, when all that happened, people are like, it's okay. Gil will be back. Stanton, as long as he's back for, August and he's ready for the postseason, it'll be fine. But then Cole gets hurt. Then Clark Schmidt gets hurt. Then Paul Goldschmidt is hurt. And you start to wonder, how many of these, jabs can this team take and punches to the face can they take? And we still believe that they're going to be like a 90-win team.
Don't you feel like first base has been
it's been tough.
It's been a it's just been that, one player after the next it, that has a good reputation and then all of a sudden comes here and gets hurt and is like an afterthought.
And I don't want to play the what-if game, but boy, if Anthony Rizzo didn't get that concussion. Because Anthony Rizzo was playing well over there, and he was a damn good ball player, and he was never the same when he came back. He just wasn't.
You got him. You know, you've had Joey Gallo over there. You've had a series. Greg was... who was the other guy?
Greg Bird?
Yes.
Yep. Yeah, Ben Rice.
Ben Rice. I mean, like, you know, Ben's still here, but... I don't know. It's a weird. The level of concern for the Yankees has gone from, you know, mild concern to like extreme starting this season. And I know that I'm sure Yankee fans don't want to hear that, but I'm sure that they realize what they've already lost, and it's hanging by a thread. And that's why, even though the American League is the weaker of the two leagues, I believe,
mm-hmm.
and they would have a chance if they were totally healthy to win the American League and go back to the World Series. On the current set of injury circumstances, that now is unlikely.
I agree. And I wasn't concerned at all about this team. I actually kind of liked what they did in the offseason, even though they lost Juan Soto. But all these things add up, and you really do, even though they've got Aaron Judge, and who I think is the best player in the game, right there with Ohtani, 1-1A, call him whatever you want. This, to me, is a really rough start. Now, conversely, it's interesting, because you talk about the weaker American League, which should make you feel a little bit more positive, even as they are losing player after player. You know, the feeling around the Mets... And I understand why. You know, with the run they had last year, you want to build on that and you want to get back there and hopefully even advance and get to the World Series. And they bring in Juan Soto and they've done some things. It's a difficult division and a difficult league.
Right, and a very tough league. And the Dodgers are showing it again as they're going to go 2-0, it looks like.
Yeah, they're up 6-3 at the moment.
I would just say this. The biggest problem with the Mets right now is catcher and second base. Like, what are they doing? What's going to happen there? Their lineup is still, the bulk of their lineup is still very much intact. It should be a very explosive offensive lineup. I don't think that that's going to change, but they still have issues at two very, very important defensive positions. And they have to make a decision in second base. I don't necessarily know that they are ready to make that decision.
Well, I do think it'll be Brett Beatty to start. Oof. I don't know that, but I think it'll be him. And you're... You know, maybe we've seen the last of Jeff McNeil. I don't know. My biggest concern for them is what wasn't and didn't turn out to be one last year. That's the pitching. And I don't believe that you should be spending $40 million a year on a pitcher anymore in this day and age. But with even their injuries that they've taken, and I don't know, is Senga going to be all the way back?
I just kind of like David Stern's approach. I think it's the most realistic approach that we have had as a general manager in a long time.
I just wish Manaea was healthy. And I know he'll be there by May. I guess they're saying May. It's just... To your point, they are playing in such a more difficult division and league than what the Yankees are. It's almost as if, I don't want to say the Yankees could stub their toe and they'll be okay, because I think the Blue Jays will be better. I think the Red Sox, I don't necessarily know that. But I feel like they can linger and hang around longer until they get healthier. As where the Mets, I don't know if the Mets get out to a bad start this year like they did last year. You can repeat what you did. A year ago. And I just think it's a good division and a good league that there's going to be a lot of teams. We did the odds yesterday. The Mets were not above the Braves or the Dodgers. And I think the Phillies were right there with them in terms of what Vegas thinks. And I bring that up because Vegas is right a lot of times.
You know, which basically goes to show you that they just spent $750 million on one player.
Yeah.
And it goes to show you what Vegas and all the different sports betting platforms think. They think that the Mets are a good team, but they don't think that they're a great team. Now, I kind of like go against that just simply because putting Juan Soto in this lineup is going to be better for both Francisco Lindor and Pete Alonso. And Lindor showed you he could carry a team last year. So if you put Juan Soto in there, and Juan Soto has the effect on the players around him this year as he did last year, as he did the year before in San Diego, the years before that in Washington, then you got to believe as a Met fan that the offense is going to be a significant upgrade. And, you know, this is going to be a team that should be able to, you know, win games 6-5. You know, they have a quality bullpen. That's the other thing that, you know, nobody's really talking about. And as long as Edwin Diaz gets back to being the Edwin Diaz that we know, then I think that, you know, they are in a better position than where the Yankees are right now, just simply because of the injuries and because of the addition of Juan Soto.
And I do agree with you, Lindor. And Alonso will be interesting to me because it will tell you if he goes out and has a big season, it will. Here will be the question. Is it the Soto effect or is it the effect of the contract not hanging over his head at least this year? Because you can make every case that both will work big time in his favor and he gets back to, you know, he numbers wise, it was okay last year, but I also know we watched it and it wasn't good. And you would like to see him get to where he was. And you mentioned Diaz. I agree with you. If Diaz gets back to being Diaz, that's a big part of it. Are you 100% certain that Diaz is going to be Diaz?
Listen, these guys go, only Mariano was great. Trevor Hoffman was great too, but now, when you think of closers and you talk about consistency, there are very few and far between of those guys. So he had a little bit of an off year coming off of an injury. Timing wasn't great. I would say that a year in, back full spring training, everything ready to rock and roll, I don't see why he will not be great again.
And I do see you pulling up the Willits Point stuff. So that, did they get approval? Did
Steve Cohen? So what happened? So City Council, it's phase two of the Willits Point plan, and this is this dream scenario for Steve Cohen. It has nothing to do with the downstate gambling license just yet. They have approved the ability to build a soccer stadium.
Mm-hmm.
They have approved the development of living and apartments over there. I think I want to say there are about 1,400 homes, and the focus of that will be on affordable housing. So the overall development, that part of it is okay. Once they are about to give out these downstate licenses, I think that's where the money lies for Steve Cohen, and that's what he truly wants. And they want to be able to build a hotel, and they want to be able to bring a casino in. Then I think it's full steam ahead. But this is the next part or the next phase of that, which is allowed to get going and moving forward because the city council voted in favor of it.
Would be cool. You know, you go to other cities and you see other stadiums, and some of them have, you know, places to go after the game if you don't want to sit in traffic. Like it would be neat.
I think, like, the Patriots were one of the first ones that did this.
Patriot Way,
Patriot Place, whatever they call it. So the Green Bay Packers did it. The Atlanta Braves did it. They moved out of Atlanta.
Oh, that
they
area is phenomenal.
And I'm telling you what's coming next. You're going to laugh at me. I do believe that there's going to be an NHL hockey team back in Atlanta.
Really?
But it's not going to be in Atlanta.
It'll be where the Braves are?
Where the Braves are, yes.
Interesting.
And I'm telling you, they're going to build a building up there. The question is, you know, do the Hawks stay downtown? Do they go up there? I'm not, you know, who knows all the politics down there and what's happening. But everything moved north of Atlanta, and they're going to build a stadium up there.
Bring back the Thrashers. And that wasn't that Farrell that did the Thrashers, right? When he was doing Farrell on the bench,
yes.
He didn't even leave. I think he just went to do the Thrashers, and it wound up, I forget the story, but it was almost like he didn't tell them he was doing the Thrashers or something, right?
Yeah, supposedly he just took the job and didn't tell them that he was going to be doing the Thrashers games.
Man, I love that show, too. That was, I mean, you want to talk about my heyday. I loved K-Rock, as you know, at the time. And when Farrell came on doing that show from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m., and we had it on not every night, but most nights on the radio station, at least the midnight to 1, he had that. It was different, and it was awesome doing that show over the rock music, the alternative, and talked a lot of hockey. As we know, he loved hockey, but yeah.
He says Chernoff hated that he was forced to carry that program by the boss at the time, Mel Karmazin.
Yeah, what time was that program carried?
10 p.m. to 1 a.m.
I mean, like, what? I mean,
what?
Who cares? I mean, why would Chernoff be upset about that?
Because back then, especially, it was very different from what
FAM was. They wanted to stay local. They wanted to stay sports.
Yeah.
Just a shake it.
I really did. I loved it. I actually liked the lead into Joe. I worked that for about a year with Joe overnight, and then he would come on right after. It was different. It was fun. It was fresh, as they say. It wasn't the same old, same old.
Remember I took you guys up to Hudson Yards when we went up there a couple years
absolutely.
Ago? We did the whole Highline thing and all that. Well, Hudson Yards was basically nothing. It's just a basic hole in the ground, nothing going on over there. And Stephen Ross, the owner of the Dolphins and Related, came in and they decided, like, we're going to blow this whole place up and we're going to do this unbelievable grouping of buildings. And it actually turned out really nice.
Oh, it's a hell of a complex.
Yeah, it looks great. This is exactly what Steve Cohen's trying to do over there at Willits Point. And it's going to include a public school. It's going to include Park Place. It's going to, you know, clean up all those chop shops over there. I don't know about living next to LaGuardia.
Right.
But it's going to be, it's supposedly going to be an incredible, incredible space. And it looks like New York City Council has decided, okay, you could do this. Now they got to get the downstate license to see if they can build a casino.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, live from the Bill Ford Tubbs studio. It is coming up on 8:30. I would like to send a big thank you to CBS Sports Network for sending me my birthday breakfast. Very nice of the guys over there. Steven, outstanding. I do appreciate it. How you doing, Booms?
Yeah, I'm all right. I mean, happy birthday, Jerry.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Is Steven Waldron, are you there? From CBS Sports, Steven.
Steven, thank you very much. How you doing, man?
Very thoughtful of you guys over there, Steven.
Yeah, I got to give credit to Sean Kennedy for reminding me that it's your birthday. I don't even know how he knew it was.
You know what's amazing? This is what happened this morning. I got in here this morning. Jerry comes in my office. He goes, hey, my friends over at Zucker Bagels want to send over a whole spread, you know, in honor of the, you know, the tournament starting and everything else. I don't think they knew that it was your birthday, did they?
No, not at all. I think it was about the big week in sports, and they would like to send something over. We order from them all the time.
And we thought that was wonderful because I love Zucker's. I love their locks. Their locks is amazing. So, Al,
we got locks.
What's that?
We made sure we got locks for you.
Oh, you did? Huh?
Well, you might want to rethink
that
one.
I don't think so. So the bad comes. The bag comes, and Al opens it up, and he tells me that he has this conversation with you about Zucker's, because I thought this was the Zucker's that Jerry was talking to me about, but and this was completely different. This was totally away from what you were doing.
Correct.
This was CBS Sports trying to do something nice for you and your birthday, which is wonderful.
I appreciate it, guys.
And Al says to me, he goes, yeah, Steven even said, you know, we got to make sure we get Boomer some locks. So Al's unpacking all the stuff, and I'm like, where's the locks? There's no locks. There was no locks, Steven.
All right, we'll look into that. I mean, I told Al yesterday we got to make sure, we get Boomer locks.
Yeah, and then I talked it up to Boomer. I said,
yeah,
I got all
jacked up for it. And of course,
that was the mistake that would have just said breakfast this year. The breakfast sandwiches were great. There's bagels out there. Everyone would have been happy. Al set the the expectation that your locks were in the bag.
I thought it was going to be there, and I always look forward to that when we get Zucker's, but now it didn't come. And Al, you have the receipt over there?
I do. It's not on the receipt, so they didn't forget to put the locks, or they didn't forget to put it on the receipt.
Oh, I see. So somebody didn't order it.
Or the order didn't get, something happened.
Have you ever had...
Wait a minute, hold on for a second. So, Steven, who did the ordering?
I'm not going to name any names.
What do you mean? Did you send it down the flagpole? You didn't handle this one yourself?
No.
Well, wow. She'd really just kind of...
Our guy, Chris did.
Oh, Chris did.
What happened to not giving up any names?
Yes. And by the way, Al...
He's a good guy. He's a good guy.
He's a great guy.
Oh, he's
and
not
I'd like to thank him for my breakfast.
Who's now under the bus.
Guess what? He's not thorough enough. Get rid of him.
No, we're not getting rid of him.
You got to follow through on everything.
Have you ever had the experience yet when Boomer glares at you in disgust, Chris?
Of course I have. Yeah.
When he looked at Al.
I didn't want to get mad at Al.
And Al said there wasn't.
By the way, as soon as I was looking at Al that way, he goes, well, it's not me. It's Steven Waldron from CBS Sports Network. And now Steven Waldron's telling me it's some guy named Chris.
Yeah, not me.
We know Chris. Chris is very good at what he does.
I don't know Chris.
Yes,
know
you
Chris.
Might not. We do. And he does very good work.
By the way, how much is on the receipt? How much did they spend on Jerry's birthday?
Let me take a look. With tax, $74.72.
That's a lot of money. So thank you. Again, I appreciate. Some might not. I appreciate.
How about the tip for the delivery guy?
I hope they included that.
Oh, boy.
Probably not. Chris didn't do that. There's no way. If he forgot the salmon, then he does not. He's not tipping the guy.
Wait a second. You don't think they included the tip?
What I'm saying is I didn't tack on a tip because I assumed when at the delivery they do.
Yeah, I would think so too.
And Al hates tipping people anyway.
No, it's you hate tipping everybody.
But if it doesn't say it on the receipt, it may not have happened. That's all I'm saying.
Well, if they ordered through an app, it probably would have gone through that and it wouldn't have been on the receipt.
All right, so Stephen from CBS Sports Network, have you spoken to Chris yet?
3 seconds ago.
Yeah, he's here with us.
What's that?
He's here with us.
He's here with us.
Yeah. What's he say? What's his explanation?
I'll talk to him during the break.
Okay. All right, we'll get an update, just like we need an update from you, CeeLo.
Yep, brought to you by Dr. Jay Shah at Samwell Institute for Pain Management. Visit samwellpain.com. Jerry, you talked about noises Al has made on air over the years. This was less a noise, but certainly an unexpected contribution to the Boomer and Carton program back in the day.
You know, when you get ready for the big playoffs, I don't care what the sport is, you try to hit the button. Please hit the button right now. Thank you.
Turned on his mic accidentally. Dropped an F-bomb.
Al did?
He did.
You're kidding.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Do you know it's tough to throw Craig off his game on air, but Al definitely startled him there as he tried to regain control.
You try to avoid saying something that'll get you in trouble. Kind of like Al Dukes just there, okay?
Right.
Right, Boomer chimes in with those. Right.
Right, yes.
Now, you also had the breakdown of words you don't want to say to women to set them off. And you played Craig almost using the C word on the air, right? Taking a call from a woman. He ended up going with Cookie in the moment, which was good. Uh-huh. This one kind of just subtly slipped out.
I want to pick with you, Craig.
All right, sweetie, go right ahead.
So that was interesting. And lastly, before we move on... you talk about weird noises heard on this program.
Ooh!
You want to take a stab at who that is?
Him!
Nope.
No?
Nope.
Me? Ooh! Is it me?
That's you.
That's me?
Yeah. Uh-huh. That one, too.
That sounds like me. Play it one more time.
The first one?
Ooh!
Would you like the full context, Jerry? It's only 8 seconds.
Sure. Never a good thing when you got to read something and worry about nuts down my throat. You imagine? Like, I thought for sure that was you.
It sounded like me, too. I thought it was me as well.
Wow. Well, for a long time, Al and I were doing the read for nuts.com. Remember that?
That's probably what that was.
It could have been.
Yeah.
And I remember discussing you never want to be nuts on air.
Mm.
Or popcorn.
Al eats nuts on air.
I do. I eat nuts every day.
You're just eating nuts in the break there.
Right, but he also doesn't have the expectation to talk all hour. He can eat his nuts and keep the mic off.
Well, for real.
Hoarding nuts. Yeah. Popcorn is a tough one, too. If that kernel slides down your throat, you can remember Kevin Harlan. That happened to him this year where he couldn't get the words out during an NFL game. Oh, it might have been an NBA game. I forget.
Why would you be eating popcorn in the middle of doing a broadcast?
I have done it. It's not smart.
No.
And I did it at Purdue this year.
And by the way, you know, so good news is that... what's his name? We got sick at the Nick game the other night.
Tracy Morgan.
Tracy Morgan is healthy. He's fine. He sent out a picture from the hospital. Now, he said that he had food poisoning.
Yeah, I'm with Al. I'm not buying it.
So really? I want to know, where did he eat? Did he eat something at the Garden?
Well, I told Al that he's covering for the Garden. He doesn't want to throw the Garden under the bus, kind of like Steven just threw Chris from CBS Sports Network.
He doesn't want to concern people. That you saw Steven Spielberg's daughter was like right next to him. I don't know if you know that.
I mean, Trace, you can't, like, if you had the norovirus, that would be more a better explanation than food poisoning.
Well, food poisoning can come on pretty quickly, in fairness. It can. Way the norovirus can.
It comes up, and then that's
it. That he ate there.
I guess. I don't know.
If he's a celebrity, then he goes up to floor 7, I think it is, or whatever. There's a nice, you know, they got a nice spread up there. Yeah. Is that where he got sick?
Maybe. That's why maybe he didn't want to reveal where it came from.
You know? I guess.
Or we went to a nice restaurant pregame.
Well, it comes on quickly. Now, this happened in the third quarter.
Right, but even when you have the norovirus, so you can feel
it. That's a good point.
At halftime, he's up there, you know, hobnobbing with the other celebrities. Something's not jiving. Something's fishy. Or maybe he ate something fishy.
I do think, though, in the aftermath of him telling us it's food poisoning, I don't buy that. One witness who said that there was blood on that towel, I don't think that was blood.
Oh, you think it was the coloring of the towel?
Like a logo
you might
or
be
something.
Right. You might be right.
He's got food poisoning. He's not coughing up blood.
Yeah, but that would be the last thing I'd want to hear if I were the Garden.
Well, of course. That's why you'd want to hear it. You don't want to hear it's norovirus, but you don't want to think it's anything that happened from their food in their building. You mentioned something's fishy. I did too. And then when I go on these trips with Rutgers and you're somewhere like the Midwest and they have great dinners for us, most times they will include salmon. How far is that salmon travel? Like, if you're on the coast, I understand. No. I think you understand what I'm saying. Like, how fresh can that be?
Because if you're on the same salmon that we have here, unless, of course, it's Citarella fresh salmon that they that they bring in daily at the fish market. But
how about that sockeye salmon?
Yeah, you like that?
Have not bought sockeye salmon in quite a while, although every time I see it, I'm always reminded of the unfortunate incident that I did have.
Yeah.
It's true, as people also remind me. Here are the two things that I will still get in my Twitter feed constantly. People at the supermarket that think it's hilarious that a supermarket sells sockeye salmon. Sockeye semen. And do you have any idea how many people tweeted me the golf hole at TPC Sawgrass this week?
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
You better not play that hole. You'll take it in the face again.
Yeah, everybody's
over me about that, just like they're all over me about the barnacles.
And then there's one video. That's never going to end.
Yeah.
Then there's the one video of the golfer that's in his backyard where he hits the piece of plywood and it comes right back at his face.
Yeah.
You know how many times that's been sent to me? And people find it like it's new. I've seen this 4 million times,
thank
guys.
Thank this guy for that.
Yeah.
To
Jerry's credit, that morning when he came in, and it looked like he had been in a car accident. He then explained what happened, and he wanted to get out in front of it.
I could have said I fell, or I got punched, or
exactly.
But it was what it was.
In front of it, as if someone was going to reveal.
Hold on a second. If I would have come in, and let's say I said I got into a fight, or whatever, the lamp fell and hit me in the face, whatever.
Yeah.
You don't think the guys from the golf course wouldn't call up and rat me out?
How many were there that were witnesses?
There were. While there were four or five guys the course, remember, they took me out in an ambulance.
True.
They wouldn't let me go back out and play with a Band-Aid.
Here's a question that I have for you. Did anybody, while you were going through that, say, oh, man, Boomer and Gio are going to kill you?
I don't remember, but possibly.
Oh, you had a concussion on top of it? Right.
I don't remember what everybody said. The first few people when I went in, and when the towel was drenched in blood.
See, that was really blood.
Yeah. Were very nice. What they said as I was being taken out to the... I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm sure somebody said something snarky. How would you not? I just hit myself in the face on the golf course.
In front of your kids and your father on Father's Day.
God,
if you would have taken it all the way and died, that would have been amazing.
Wow. Well, you suck. Like, really. That's rude.
Well, why do you have it? I don't know why I'm talking on the air, Al.
What are we doing here? What do you got?
He's asking me something. I don't know why I'm talking back to him on the air.
Breaking news. I will tell you, Saturday was the first time since that incident I actually hit a shot like that. Like, I feel comfortable enough because I've played. Yeah, like, I feel my swing's okay. And that was the mistake I made that day. I hadn't played in all year. And I tried to make a shot that I had no business trying to make.
Let me ask you this question. Here's a gentlemanly question that I have for you.
Okay.
Because it happened to me in our trip to the DR. Mm-hmm. And this has to do with golf. And two things about golf, by the way, I want to talk about when we come back on the other side. But there is a root situation where a ball of mine ends up in between two roots.
Mm-hmm.
And, I either have to knock it out and a guy that I'm playing with and against said, hey, man, I don't want you hurting your wrist. I don't want you doing anything. Just take the ball, move it back, and just give yourself a swing. I thought that was really...
I agree with that.
I would do the same.
You're not playing for millions of dollars.
It's a different story if you're playing for a club championship. Agreed. Or you're playing for like huge amounts of money. That's a different story. But if you're just playing, 20, 40, whatever, and it's an easy get, and plus it's the beginning of the golf year. The guy says to me, he goes, I don't want you breaking your wrist in your first round.
I'm with him.
That was pretty cool.
And I think that's exactly what should be done. Yes, Chris.
Bit of an update on the Aaron Rodgers situation here. And my bad, I hadn't seen this, so thank you to Al for tipping me off. Tom Pelissero, amongst others, within the last half hour or so, the Vikings have rejected multiple trade calls on J.J. McCarthy, telling other teams they're moving forward with him as their quarterback. The team plans to add a veteran, but they are not pursuing Aaron Rodgers at this time.
All right. Steelers or Giants or retirement.
Cross them off the list.
Okay, fair enough.
Yes.
They're gone. All right, and you're gone at this point.
Yeah, I know.
Did you do anything?
Well, I played sounds and noises, and then we trailed off into other stuff, and we did the breakfast conversation with Steven.
Right,
so
right.
It was one of those
segments. Quite frankly, we know the Rangers lost, so we got that off my chest early on.
You're welcome.
I don't need to hear any more about this and see if this team can respond to whatever. So
really,
the
there's no point in coming back next hour.
Pretty much. I do have some. I have some football sound I can play for you next hour. Also, I'd like to play some of the Mad Dog rant yesterday.
Yeah.
I don't know where you stand on
that was all over the place. So absolutely.
What was he ranting about?
Yes, next hour.
Yeah,
I like that.
Okay.
Or you want to do it next? Whatever you want.
No, it's fine. It's fine. Whatever you want.
I'd rather not do it.
We'll do it next hour.
Okay. All right.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, 850. Nice to have you with us. 888-808-1019. Yes, sir.
You know, Jerry, we just saw the Players' Championship down in Pontevedra. It was a great finish, and, you know, Rory wins, and we're on our way to the Masters.
Yeah.
The Masters in about 30 days or so, and obviously we all can't wait for that. But in between that, there are other events, and this weekend is the Valspar event. And a story came to me via X yesterday, and this is the best part about social media, because you do get stories like this that you may not ever see. And as much as I love golf, I'm not sitting here saying that I know everything about golf or what's going on the PGA Tour and the LIV Tour and all the different things that are happening around those tours. So there's a thing called Monday Q. Now, I know what Monday Q is. Maybe a lot of people out there don't know what Monday Q is. But if you are a golfer or you are a fan of professional golf, you know what Monday Q is. Monday Q is a day where dreams can come true. And the Q stands for qualifiers. And a lot of these tournaments on Mondays before the tournaments take place on the weekend have these qualifiers where a number of guys can go out, or women can go out, I'm sure for the LPGA Tour, can go out and they can try to qualify for that event that week only. And this week at the Monday qualifier, a young man by the name of Andre Chi, who went to Methodist University and was an assistant pro at Deepdale Golf Club out here on Long Island in Manhasset, decided that, you know, he didn't want to give up on his dream of becoming a professional golfer. He tried different ways of getting there, could never get there, did not have a lot of money in his bank account. As a matter of fact, supposedly, according to the story that I read, he's $1,500 in the hole. Now, I don't know whether or not people were giving him money yesterday, because this seemed to be a thing on social media, because everybody is now rooting for him. And then along with this story, you find out that the PGA Tour is now limiting the amount of Monday Qs or Monday qualifiers that they're going to have for their PGA tournaments.
Meaning the event or the amount of golfers they'll allow into it?
I think they may be canceling some of the events, and they may be limiting the amount of people who can actually try out for those events. Instead of having four spots possibly open for a tournament like Valspar, maybe it's down to two now. And the golfing world, that want people like Andre Chi to have a chance to live his dream. And, you know, he's going to have a lot of fans starting on Thursday. And I'm sure he's going to be nervous. And hopefully everything goes well for him. But, you know, this is a guy who didn't have any money left. And I was contacted by a group called Monday Q Info. I guess there's a group that follows exactly what this is all about every week. And they sent this story to me, and I thought it was an amazing story about a young kid who's trying to live a dream, and now he's going to find himself in his first ever PGA Tour event, and he's going to do it because he qualified on a Monday.
Yeah, and see if he can be there on the weekend. Is this one of these two-day cuts?
Yeah, it's a two-day cut. So he did a – well, I don't know about the – I'm assuming the event is, but I'm not sure. But he actually had to shoot two rounds. He shot a 66 and a 67 to end up making it and qualifying for the Valspar. So good luck to Andre Chi, and good luck to the folks at Deepdale that supported him. And I'm sure everybody around that knows him, at least here, is rooting for him. And I would say, hey, those members over there at Deepdale, buck up. Mike Bloomberg can send his jet form, for God's sake.
Especially if he doesn't make the cut, because then in that case, you don't make anything.
I will tell you one thing. If he wins, Mike Bloomberg, send the jet form, bring him back to Deepdale, and let's all have a party.
They did change, not to have a long conversation about this, but they did change the rules because of LIV and what LIV does in terms of the way the qualifiers now actually get some of the money back that they actually have to spend on expenses. Because it used to be you had to pay your own way the entire way.
And now every golfer gets like an appearance fee, that kind of expense fee, or whatever you want to call it.
Right. So it's not like...
I would assume that he would be eligible for that. Again, I don't know the ins and outs of all of that. I just know that this weekend, if you see the name Andre Chi,
root for him
on the leaderboard. Root for this kid, and hopefully his dream comes true.
A friend of mine who cannot for the life of him played baseball his whole life, even played into his 20s. And like, you know, you play hockey now on your team. I guess he's 51. He's like me. He still plays in adult baseball leagues, and he can't wrap his head around like why everybody, you know, enjoys playing golf so much. And the only way I could explain it to him, I think it makes sense, is there's no other game as an adult. Like you can play your adult hockey league.
You can play tennis, you can play pickleball, you can play softball.
But you can't really do anything better than a professional can do. You just can't. I mean, you might have a goal. Fine. Wayne Gretzky had a million of them. You can't shoot it as hard, as good. But in golf, everybody can have that hole-in-one, and everybody can have that 50-foot birdie putt that is as good or better than any of the pros can do.
And 9 times out of 10, if you're doing it right, you're playing with people you love playing with.
Well, that's part of it as well,
who know your game, you know their game, and then if you could take money off of them like the way that I take money
Wally Cash.
Yeah, Wally Cash. Like, when I take money from Wally Zerbiak, I got to tell you, you know, he was a former professional athlete like me. I don't know if you knew that. I think Alan knew that. I think he found out about it, but there's nothing better than taking his cash. Or Cal Clutterbuck's cash, for that matter.
I took cash from, this is where you're sneaky, I took money from you this summer, and then on 18, because you couldn't stand to lose, you had to say, oh, what if we go double or nothing here on 18? And sure as hell, I said, well, why not? We'll go double or nothing. Sure, if I can win some money off Boomer. And what happens? I lose everything.
I always throw that out there just to see when I'm losing. If the guy is going to be kind enough to take the bet, you shouldn't. You really don't have to.
No, take the bet.
What you should say is say, I'll tell you what, I'll play you for half.
You know what? Maybe next time that's what I will do.
That's what you should do.
In this case, I lost the money that I won.
Right.
And you walked away happy.
If you push, you still win all of it. If you lose, you still win half of it. And if, you know... That's the way it is.
Fair enough.
If you win, you double your money.
Oh, I know. And the way I was playing that day and the way you were playing that day, I thought that was a sure bet. Wrong.